Creatures.
Hi, I'm Chris Uglietta, and welcome back for this special edition of Game Changers. Here today, we have Melania Kalinescu. She is head of data science. Yeah, she's head of data science here at Data AI. And yeah, thanks for joining. You and your noisy neighbor, in fact.
Thank you, Chris, for having me today. I'm really happy to be part of this great series of podcasts.
Yeah, glad to have you. And that wasn't just a joke. There is some neighbor doing construction. So apologize for the background noise to our listeners. But yeah, Melania, really wanted to have you on. You know, with our rebrand, we've really made the name of the company reflect our approach to data AI. And it makes sense to me to talk to you as, you know, this is to me a game changer in our industry and something that helps our customers quite a bit. And my only real exposure to AI is through a couple of things. One is just the general hype out there, which has been big, as I'm sure you're very aware. And really before that is, you know, watching the movie Space Odyssey, where, you know, we have the HAL 9000, which is still creeps me out today. And maybe I'd like to later get your opinion on when we get to that point. But first, I would like to learn just a little bit about you, where you're from, how long you've been at Data AI, all that.
Absolutely. Let me start with the very beginning. So I am originally from Romania, Eastern Europe. Grew up here. I'm actually currently visiting my family due to the awesome passport program that we have over here at Data AI. So I'm able to be at any point on the globe, do my work, be able to kind of catch up with family and friends. As part of my study journey, I moved to the Netherlands, where I fell in love even more so with applied mathematics. I studied my entire life applied mathematics, and I completed a PhD over there, where I worked with the Dutch Bureau of Statistics on how to create optimal survey logistics models so that people are able to conduct high quality surveys without going over budget. And the continuous passion for finding solutions to industry problems took me further out of academia and put me more in the center of industry and in the center of solving problems for the mobile ecosystem. I started a small Dutch startup in Utrecht in the Netherlands that soon after I joined was acquired by what today is Data AI. So I've actually been with Data AI for quite some time. I'm happy to report that I'm one of the few that just recently achieved 8 years over here. It has not been one single boring day. We definitely solve different problems all the time. We never solve the same problem twice. We never apply the same algorithm twice. There's always something different. And the more kind of the mobile device becomes the center of our day-to-day lives, the more data and the more interesting data puzzles for us to solve. So that's what keeps me here so many years after I started.
Yeah, amen. Every day is certainly exciting. And so what is kind of the general path for someone in your field to get into AI? Is there what, you know, appropriate course of study? I'm just curious, and I think the listeners might be curious as well.
Absolutely. I think if we had addressed this question a few years ago, it would have been a pretty clean-cut answer of, yes, you need to know math, you need to know stats, you need to know how to code. But over time, simply because more industries are taking over machine learning, AI, as part of how they address solving problems in those respective sectors, it has become a lot more diverse. Even our data science team is very diverse in terms of educational background. You will not find two people with the same background, but they do have one thing in common, and that is very in-depth analytical skills and coding skills, of course, and the continuous ability to search for problems or be curious, ask questions, see where perhaps bringing in a enhanced mathematical model might help customers or might help solving additional problems. So I would say at the end of the day, it's not necessarily a cookie cutter type of educational background. As long as you touch on math, you are able to understand how to solve problems, how to code, have that experience, and just have a passion for solving data puzzles. That's now sort of the road to being successful in the field of data science and AI.
Excellent. And how large is the team right now?
Right now, we are a few over 20 in terms of absolute team size. We definitely have more functions than the general machine learning development. Since here at Data AI, we put a very strong weight on compliance in terms of what type of data we work with, protecting the data, making sure that all regulatory spaces out there globally are respected in terms of the data that we ingest, the algorithms that we develop, and what we serve our customers. We also have a dedicated team within the data science that particularly pays attention to that piece. And we also have additional data analysts and data engineers, since the more data we have, the more diverse products we want to build. We need to also expand our kind of coding and engineering skills. And data scientists traditionally are not your best coders. There's always that small tension between a data scientist and data engineer who writes the ugliest code or the most scalable code. And we just need to have all these functions in the team so that we can power through and deliver high quality algorithms all the time.
Great. Well, sounds like you've got a huge, I mean, that's a pretty big team, full of terrifically smart people. Let's go a little deeper now. I know there's a lot of terms in AI that I'm beginning to have familiarity with, like machine learning. That's bandied around quite a bit, neural networks, et cetera. But in the context of, you mentioned you solve a lot of problems over your time, 8 years at Data AI. In the context of that, what are the terms we should know? And maybe you could kind of take us a little deeper on the major problems that you've solved, and then we'll go later and talk about, some of the new solutions and features and maybe what the future looks like.
Yeah, you're definitely drawing a very interesting path of conversation for us today. So let me see, if we are to start with what kind of problems we solve, that might kind of give us a starting point, because AI and machine learning has become so very big in the past 5-10 years. Now, so many different industries are utilizing AI technologies. And in fact, AI is the latest buzzword left and right, primarily because we have so many applications of it in our day-to-day life. Whenever we do a Google search, whenever we search for the next movie on Netflix or for next product on Amazon, all the results of our search or the results of our interaction with a specific device is AI. So it has evolved a lot in the recent years, and the applications of it are very diverse. And so because of its diversity, then key terms are also becoming more diverse. Let me actually start one step back with why it's so large now, why it hasn't been for, further 20 years. And the answer there will definitely be, and I hear my neighbor is also taking part in this conversation. The answer is a combination of us producing a lot more data in the digital realm, and also computers becoming a lot bigger, a lot cheaper to work with, and overall enabling algorithms that were built back in the 50s, but were just nice mathematical models on a piece of paper. But now these supercomputers are allowing us to actually solve those problems. And that enabled us to start having voice assistants when we need to navigate from A to B, or seeing things like customers also bought on Amazon. All these options are now enabled by AI that is running on large computers. I would say AI, ML, I personally definitely use them interchangeably, primarily because they
ML
have the same.
ML is machine learning, right?
Machine learning. Right. Yes. Thank you for explaining the abbreviation that sometimes I forget. It's just two letters. It's like very deep in my brain. But yes, machine learning basically is the way we address being able to understand what might happen based on data that we had access to historically. And if data science was the buzzword a few years ago, now we are definitely looking at machine learning and AI taking its place. So with machine learning being able to understand what might be likely to happen based on data we saw in the past or have dashboards about or reports about, and then we did some diagnostic on why are we observing specific patterns in the data. With machine learning, we are able to estimate what might happen. And then the next step, and that's where AI is really kind of getting to its absolute peak, is in terms of being able to prescribe decision and actions. So going again back to the example of customers also bought or watch this or movies recommended for you or podcasts recommended for you. I hope this is a podcast recommended for people that are interested in AI. That's basically where AI is now becoming really, really strong and powerful. In terms of additional concepts or things that we tend to use in our jargon, very often you hear training and test sets or sparse data. We cannot learn enough from this specific training data set. Definitely hear it at Data AI whenever the data science team interacts with our field teams or our customers, and we get asked about the accuracy of our models or overall degree of performance of our models. We always go back and say, well, the training data that we have or the benchmark data that we have informs our algorithms this way, and that's how we measure model performance, or that's how we know where accuracy is, or that's how we know where we might have larger or smaller estimation error. So a lot of the jargon that we use goes around the mathematics of things. Less so on sort of the computer science part of things or how fast things run. Definitely once you start having full AI applications, for example, kind of doing Google Translate or classifying images that you have in your Google Photos, the models that power that in order to train, so learn what are the actual patterns and being able to predict new patterns, that takes a long time. The prediction happens really fast, but the training takes a long time. So that is also part of the jargon, but it's more on the sort of data science, ML, machine learning side of things rather than as it gets exposed to consumers like you and me. I'm taking you really deep right now since you asked a very good starting question. Let's come back up for a quick breath.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for that context. I do want to go even a little bit deeper and understand. So machine learning seems like a big component of AI that we're using at Data AI. What problems has that really solved? So my understanding is you're taking many data sets to provide, really confident answers. And, what problems that really solved and how has that delivered a better product for customers?
Let me take you down a quick journey there as well, because definitely my time at Data AI, I grew up in terms of my knowledge and expertise in the field together with the company, together with the team, but also together with our product portfolio. So initially when I joined, we were looking at estimating downloads and revenue in the Google Play and Apple App Store based on the rankings that the platforms made available. Then once we had those estimates, so we tried to understand, okay, depending on the market, depending on the day of the year, depending on the category of the app that the app was ranked in, what would be the likely number of downloads that took to arrive at that rank. That was sort of the first foundational product at Data AI. Now, what happens after people download the specific app? they might start using it or not. And then we wanted to observe what are those usage patterns, how long do they spend in once they open an app, and how that differs depending on the type of app. Like, you would expect a banking app, people would not spend that long time, but if they want to play a game or watch a movie, then that session length will be much longer. So with wanting to kind of carve out what is the usage pattern, how that varies across categories, how that varies across markets, how that varies across platforms, especially with markets in APAC being more Android heavy than more in the Western world, and kind of also observing how different markets with different level of maturity of mobile penetration, how those patterns also vary, that opened up sort of a very large category of problems for us to solve, because it's harder to create estimates at market level when you want to observe patterns created by regular people like you and me. So it's different in that sense than estimating downloads or being able to do, say, translation from one language to another, where you can access large amounts of data that is static or evolves slower, versus human behavior, that there's always additional factors that drive what changes somebody being interested today in a, RPG game versus a, match three game, since we are on Game Changer podcast. And understanding those variations and how that changes very quickly over time, that poses additional kind of complexities to the level of problems that we want to solve. Now, say that's one level, one next level from downloads and revenue. And yet another level is understanding advertising, especially in the gaming, mobile gaming. Advertising is a big thing. For sure. I'm not a big gamer myself, but being able to kind of watch an ad to get those free coins that otherwise I would be too stingy to pay for is very important. So advertising in gaming is a pretty big branch, and data AI is definitely attempting to be to illuminate the entire mobile advertising space. And we are working on a number of product features that will help our customers understand how to navigate that mobile advertising world. And we will definitely be the first ones on the markets with respect to bringing this type of products and helping our customers understand how to strategize and optimize their advertising strategies. One step further, since we did talk earlier about customers also. All right. We did talk earlier about customers also bought recommendations on Amazon or movie recommendations on Netflix. One big bucket of interesting AI applications that the data science team at Data AI will attempt to solve starting very soon, and definitely one of my personal passions, is being able to recommend optimization actions to our customers.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So as you are an app publisher, or you are a company looking to acquire a game developer or an app developer, what are the paths you can take in order to improve your performance in the mobile ecosystem? You can try a number of things. You can see maybe what your competitors are doing, kind of watch them and retroactively see, oh, they must have done this advertising campaign because now we see that they are ranking higher in this category. But you don't really know what they actually did. And here's where we will come in. First of all, we will map that entire landscape and say, okay, very likely there was an advertising campaign started from this day to this date, very likely on this type of ad networks with this estimated CPI that drove these many downloads that resulted in these many users. If you're interested, we recommend you taking these specific actions in order to increase your performance, beat your competitors, perhaps expand in new markets, and perhaps even build new apps in order to kind of increase your market share. So we will look at recommended actions for app developers across a number of different dimensions. Being able to perhaps run ad campaigns, that was an example. Being able to run different experiments in your app in order to engage your users better by comparison to your customers, to your competitors. So we would always be able to provide these recommended actions while putting things in perspective to the market average, to your competitors, to your apps of interest. Perhaps there will be maybe a large game developer would have so many different competitors that we will be able to get more granular, being able to utilize data AI's proprietary taxonomies in GameIQ and AppIQ and really observe performance at more granular levels rather than just market average. Being able to literally just guide our customers to increase performance. And one more thing that I want to add here, since we are going to come out with it very, very soon, our mobile performance score. So again, proprietary to Data AI, but it is that one score that summarizes performance in the mobile ecosystem across four main pillars. So it will be on acquisition, engagement, sentiment, and monetization, with these four pillars being able to literally just summarize your entire performance in the mobile ecosystem. And then being able to slice and dice and dive deeper into which specific metrics might get your score in one of these pillars further away from the market average or further away from your competitors. And then come in with our recommended actions on how you can correct your performance, how you can optimize for more success in that sector.
Wow, that is super exciting. I worked at Zynga before Data AI, and on the product side, the expected outcomes modeling around laying out features and road mapping, they had a really terrific approach and a lot of smart people working on it, but there's a lot of variability depending upon the team working on it. So the idea of having some recommendations based on this deep level of analysis, I see that as super powerful. That is super exciting. And, we see that already in the investment world, making predictive decisions. How would you summarize this vision overall? What's written in the wall for your team, what's the slide on your quarterly reviews that, you think about in terms of the future vision?
Yeah, so for the data science team at Data AI, we basically call ourselves the DNA of the company, since we are the pioneers that built that foundational blueprint that to bring in data, to orchestrate decision making, and in the end, drive that performance for our customers to be the leaders in their own now mobile landscape and further out digital landscape, as Data AI is also evolving overall digital. So that's basically what guides us. We definitely want to kind of leave no stone unturned in terms of searching for data that could inform, again, decision-making for performance improvement or could give us another angle to view performance in the mobile ecosystem. Right now, we do have access basically to whatever the platforms make available, to whatever publishers have available in terms of measuring their own performance. Very soon, again, we will come out with a new product where we also take in social mentions. So whatever people talk about in terms of, hey, somebody might like really a specific piece or a specific screen in a game or a specific battle in a game, and they want to rave about that to their friends. And then the competitor doesn't quite know what it is that everybody is so eager to know. So we'll be bringing that information to light. So illuminate overall opportunities for our customers. And at every turn, whenever there's a new data set, to us, it means there's a new, potentially interesting industry problem to solve. And also, we definitely like interacting with our customers and hearing where their pain points are and what kind of problems they would like to solve. And we take that in as well and put it on our roadmap. But now, definitely, sort of the North Star is being able to bring that full value in terms of closed loop execution, and that from data science means this level of recommendations, like very granular or diverse, being able to also have the full feedback back, as in, okay, we recommend maybe 2-3 more likely actions, and then our customers implement one. What's the success kind of in helping us calibrate our models? So truly AI, learning from the new sort of data that comes in from one application to be able to tune our models and make them create more concrete and more successful actions for the next implementation.
That's super exciting. So I'm not holding you accountable here, but I just want to kind of catalog things. So it sounds like you may have the ingredients to do this. So it's going to be exciting to watch. So you have data sets. We're making partnerships to get more data and first party data. You have a talented team, and really the underlying technologies there. So it's just a matter of execution at this point, which is no small feat. But I'm just curious what the hurdles are.
Yeah, when it comes to execution, that's another piece where kind of data science, AI comes in all sorts of flavors, because we don't want to build algorithms that solve one specific problem for one specific customer. We want algorithms that scale. Right, and are able to provide recommendations for our very diverse customer base, not just game developers, but also banks or news apps and other customers. So being able to implement or develop and implement algorithms that easily scale or resist any form of data anomaly changes that might be very, very rare, but still be present in the system. All these steps are part of the actual execution. And also being able to have our systems gonna adapt to whatever changes exist in the market. So whenever massive shifts happen, like 2 years ago, we had, because of COVID, there was this surge in mobile engagement. So our algorithms having to adapt to this massive market shift, that's also part of execution. So very often what we do, and this is one of data science best practices that definitely is a strong differentiator for us, next to putting compliance and regulatory environment as number one, we also want to make sure that our algorithms understand the market trends, but are also not just black box to our customers. Mm-hmm. Because we can definitely build something in our corner that is cool and shiny for us data scientists, but then our customers will not be able to understand what is happening and how to interpret the data that they see in our final products. So having interpretability also as another dimension in execution is a piece that is top of mind for us before we declare something fully done. So I agree with your summary. It is all about execution. Just that has a few more phases than simply pressing that a button. We'll definitely get one day there.
Well, yeah. So I think your answer is, yeah, you're building a proper platform, you know, not just one-off little solutions and sort of small features. So that's super exciting. Let's kind of zoom out a bit now and want to just hear a little bit about what you're passionate about in terms of AI. It can't just be, you know, mobile data, you know, is it, and it's probably not recommendations like, you know, just being the next TikTok, but, you know, I'm just curious about what do you think is cool in terms of where AI is heading and, you know, and even some of the ethics around, you know, replacing jobs and just kind of where your head is in all of this.
We definitely need a few more episodes of this podcast too, for me to give the full answer here. But very briefly, I am definitely passionate about solving problems that matter, being able to understand our surrounding environment. The reason why I'm 8 years into solving problems for the mobile ecosystem is because we are so kind of dependent on our mobile devices. I definitely am. Probably losing my phone is worse than losing my ID in terms of how much information that device helps me with. Definitely being able to continuously expand my understanding of how problems might materialize in different sectors. Healthcare is definitely a big one. I used to work in a past life, like solving problems for logistics in healthcare. But also being able to kind of carve out what should that swim lane be between building algorithms that solve problems versus building algorithms that can be easily manipulated for other reasons. That keeping that delineation very strict is something that I'm very passionate about and trying to get involved a lot in various initiatives that drive that ethical AI development around the world. Since the more AI we put out there as open source, since there are so many researchers globally with all sorts of good ideas to improve and expand the performance of AI, but then it can easily leak into other regions, let's say, being able to have that strict access is something that I would really want to spend time in.
I can see, we could definitely do a few more podcasts on this. Well, you know what? I thank you for joining me here during your evening in Romania, and hope you have a nice holiday with your family. This has been super enlightening, I hope, not only for me, but for our listeners. How can folks reach out to you? I think we may have some questions, and we would welcome questions or suggestions about road mapping or, you know, just how these types of solutions can help you. How can we find you?
That's pretty easy. I'm on LinkedIn. People can shoot me a message. There's also directly through Data AI on various different email addresses. And the more questions we have, I think it will be very beneficial for us to hear that the categories of questions, but also seeing perhaps whether a new problem hides in a question for us to solve. Definitely the team will be very, very excited to hear more from our listeners.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we eagerly await these developments, and just a very exciting time. So thank you very much. Thanks for joining.